This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
40 years ago, in 1967, there was a huge UFO flap in the Ohio River Valley, including Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Residents there reported lots of unidentified aerial lights and silver disks, both day and night, along with strange flying creatures that resembled large humans with bat wings. That year, one of the most famous investigators of Earth mysteries was John Keel. He went to Point Pleasant to investigate and coined the term Mothman for the winged humanoids being seen flying in the air. John Keel wrote a book about his investigations entitled The Mothman Prophecies, published in 1976. In Chapter 7, he describes one night being on the trail of a creature with glowing red eyes who was seen by many but never photographed or caught. Keel was driving in rural country after midnight and reported, quote, "As I passed a certain point on one of the isolated roads, I was suddenly engulfed in fear. I stepped on the gas, and after I went a few yards, my fear vanished as quickly as it came. I continued to drive, eventually returning again to the same spot. And again, a wave of unspeakable fear swept over me. I drove quickly away from the place and then stopped, puzzled. Why would this one stretch of road produce this hair-raising effect? I turned around and slowly headed back, trying to note trees, fence posts, and other landmarks in the dark. Once again, when I reached that particular point, the hair tingled on the back of my neck, and I became genuinely afraid. When I emerged from the other side of this invisible zone, I stopped and got out of my car. The air was perfectly still. There wasn't any audible sound, not even a bird call. I walked back to the zone of fear slowly, alert for any rustle of bushes, measuring my own breathing and emotions. I was perfectly calm until I took one step too many and was back in the fear zone. I almost panicked and ran, but I forced myself to look around and proceed slowly. I steeled myself and walked once more through that invisible stream, scared out of my wits in transit." Unquote. 13 years later, on December 29, 1980, another bizarre, unidentified aerial object, shaped like a bright white glowing diamond, hovered low over a Texas highway. Driving toward it was 51-year-old Betty Cash, her friend Vicki Landrum, and Vicki's 7-year-old grandson Colby. The three could see the object shoot down a stream of reddish-orange flames at regular, fast intervals. Vicki Landrum later described it as like a diamond of fire. There was also a constant beeping sound coming from the strange diamond-shaped craft. Then the travelers saw dozens of helicopters circling the diamond object. Since 1980, there has been intense controversy about whether the diamond was a U.S. top-secret military project or a vehicle from outer space somehow involved with the American government. If the big diamond-shaped craft was not made by humans, who or what was piloting it? Recently, a 44-year-old North Dakota resident contacted me about her own experiences with zones of fear and a large diamond-shaped aerial craft that appeared before her and her nephew around 2003. The woman has requested I not use her real name or exact location, so I will call her Terry Jones from southwestern North Dakota near the Badlands. Terry was born in 1962 and spent her 20s working for the Forest Service in Idaho as a firefighter and on a road survey crew. She met her husband in the mid-1980s, and they moved to a place north of Livingston, Montana, near the Bridger Mountains. By 1999, her husband accepted a job to manage a ranch at the edge of the Badlands in southwestern North Dakota. Occasionally, where Terry worked in the Rocky Mountains, she would come across specific zones that seemed to repel her with fear. Smart and tough, she was shocked while backing away from one of those zones of fear because she got the clear mental impression of a small gray non-human entity sensed that it was alien and that it was underground and did not want humans in its territory. She has given me permission to share some of her experiences, beginning with one in 1990 north of Henry's Lake in Idaho.
From my kitchen window, I'm looking west towards the lake. The mountains are to the north and south, and seeing this bright light up in the sky, very, very, very bright, stationary, just sitting there, too large to be a star, and I'm looking at this thinking, wow, that is a very large bright light, and it's just sitting there. How strange. Where did this come from? And as I'm sitting there looking at this light, thinking those thoughts, three smaller lights come shooting out of it, just as bright, but smaller, and they come out one after the other, shooting out of it to the north, disappearing behind a mountain range, going very fast.
What color?
They were just white, very, very bright white lights. And they were the same intensity of brightness also, all of them, the stationary light as well as the three that traveled out of it. The three lights shot out behind the mountain range and disappeared out of sight. And I really got the feeling as though they were heading to the ground behind the mountain range. The stationary light shot straight up and disappeared. This area that these lights went into is definitely an area of the zone fear that we were talking about, where you don't go there because there's just this feeling that humans don't belong there. I've spent my life working in the woods, backpacking in mountains. There's a few areas I've been to that have felt the same way, kind of an overwhelming fear of dread. Although my curiosity, the fact that I saw these lights travel back in there, and I know they must have landed because of the angle that they were shooting down. They were kind of definitely heading straight towards the ground, it looked like to me.
There are areas that seem to be almost marked by zones of fear that humans sense that they're not supposed to go into them.
Yeah, I felt that feeling as though this was a bad energy area, negative feeling, and humans didn't belong there.
Let's go into what you've come to suspect might be behind these zones of fear because of experiences that you've had.
Very first experience I had with that feeling, definitely at that time, there was a prophetic sense that it was an alien energy. It's the only way I can describe it. The very first time I ever felt that, I was actually in Wyoming, north and west of the town of Dubois, Wyoming, another very remote wilderness area. And I was with my boyfriend at that time hiking. There was a 10,000-foot peak there we climbed to the top of, and we were climbing down the back side of it, and I got into this area where I just got really scared, really negative energy area. What is it? You know, and I'm sitting there feeling this energy and feeling scared and nervous. It was the first time I'd felt this in the backcountry. At a gut-level feeling was aliens. And at that time, I hadn't had any experience with seeing lights or anything, but I couldn't get out of that area fast enough.
What year was this?
That was back in the mid-80s, probably.
Did any impression come into your mind when you felt that overwhelming fear?
No, just that I needed to get out of there as soon as possible, that it wasn't a good place to be.
But why do you think back then that you linked to extraterrestrials?
And it was just a gut-level feeling that it was just an alien energy, mechanical almost. Does that sound strange?
Mechanical and not human.
Yeah.
And you have lived with intuitive senses through most of your life?
Yeah, I've had a lot of psychic experiences and dreams that have come true and that sort of thing.
And so your living life with intuition has reinforced that when you do feel a sense of fear or dread, that there is a reason.
Yes, absolutely. But it was here that I had my most intense alien encounter 4 or 5 years ago, and it was on the ranch. And it was an evening. My nephew was living with us at the time, and I had my three daughters just sitting around relaxing in the evening and having a conversation. And my nephew had grown up in California, and I knew he had never really looked at the night sky at night, and I just got this overwhelming urge to get him outside and look at the stars. So we go outside, and there's this really fantastic display of northern lights going on at that time. So that was an added benefit because he got to watch the northern lights for the first time in his life, plus see all the fantastic stars in the sky at night here on the prairie and in the Badlands of North Dakota. Pretty soon there's a light cruising across the northern skyline within the northern light, traveling through it, zigzagging back and forth. We see this, and I'm like, oh, wow, UFO, look, you know, and getting all excited. I've got two of my daughters outside with me. Just the mention of a UFO, they ran to the house because it scared them. But my nephew and I stayed out there, and this UFO continues to travel across the northern sky in a zigzag pattern and then suddenly shoots straight down behind the horizon to the north with kind of a bright flash. And this was just another bright white light, but it was just kind of neat because here were the northern lights were going on. It was a fantastic night outside, and wow, we get to watch UFOs too. And pretty soon there's three lights up there, and they're all kind of dancing around in the northern lights. And this is just really a fantastic thing to watch. These three little lights, very bright, several miles away, I'm thinking, because here in North Dakota, you can see quite a ways to the horizon north of us at this time. And they're just sort of zipping around in the northern lights. And it was almost like, what were they doing? You know, why were they zipping around in the northern lights? Was there some reason why they were doing that? I don't know. My husband and I speculated later, well, maybe they do something with their craft, like collect negative and positive ions out of the atmosphere. Pretty soon they kind of break up, and all three go in different directions. One takes off to the west, one takes off to the east. They all just disappeared out of sight. And my nephew and I are just standing there going, wow, that was so cool. We're watching the sky, waiting for some of these lights to show back up, and all of a sudden, holy crap, look in the sky. And I look straight up where he's looking, and there's this huge, very bright, diamond-shaped light right above us. And when I say huge, it's not like as big as the moon. It's very big, bigger than a star.
And very clearly a diamond shape, as you would draw a diamond, let's say, in school?
Very clearly a diamond shape. Yeah, we both agreed to that immediately. Wow, that's diamond-shaped, you know? That is weird. It's got to be a UFO, you know? We don't have any diamond-shaped craft that we know of anyway, and we're watching this diamond-shaped light right above us just in utter excitement and fascination. A few minutes have gone by, and it's just sitting there, and we're just sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden I kind of get a little nervous. It's like, maybe they're getting ready to abduct us. Maybe any minute now a beam is going to come shooting out of the bottom of it, and we're going to go up. Then the minute I start feeling this fear of abduction, the craft starts moving away from us to the north, zigzagging as it goes very slowly across the sky.
Almost leaving with a sachet, like, okay, you're afraid, we're going to leave?
Yeah, I definitely felt like it was related to my fear. Like, I think the second I started feeling that fear and imagining abduction in my mind, the light started moving north very slowly. And then I was almost sorry that I'd felt that way because I felt like I had chased it away. And it kind of slowly disappeared up into the sky. The light just kind of got smaller and smaller and smaller, zigzagging the whole time, and then just disappeared straight up. Within a year, I had this dream that I was discussing with you that I feel is related somehow. The dream is very clear to me, and that's why I think it wasn't just a dream. It was maybe their way of contacting me without putting fear into me. There's a part of me that believes that's true. And I was actually dreaming that I was woken up out of my sleep telepathically from this alien who had just landed on a butte near us, parked his craft on the butte, and is actually hiking down to the ranch where I live to contact me personally. And he's letting me know that he's on his way. And I can actually see him telepathically hiking along this ridge that leads down to the ranch. And I know that I have to get up and go outside and hike out a little ways beyond the corrals behind the house to meet with him. So I do in my dream. And I get out there and we shake hands, and there's really no verbal communication going on other than he just says, I just wanted to meet you. And he wants to shake my hand. And instantly there's this bond with this reptilian creature. I feel no threat from him. He's reptilian in the degree that he's green, scaly, but I remember silver boots on his feet, tall silver boots, and I remember he was wearing something else that was either like a shield or armor or clothing, I can't remember, but it wasn't part of his skin.
And could you see eyes, nose, and all of that?
Well, that's the thing, is that there was something about him that was human, too. That was the really odd part in the dream, is the humanness in him was what was putting me at ease. But he had an inner strength, like a warrior strength about him, and a kindness at the same time. And I felt very honored and privileged that he even wanted to meet me. But this is all in dream land, you know, dream time.
And how big was he compared to you?
He was very tall. He was well over 6 feet tall, probably between 6 and 7 feet tall.
And was he more massive in his chest and shoulders?
Yeah, he was very muscular. But he was slender, too. He had very long legs, very long arms. But the arms were very beefy, but the legs were kind of long and kind of skinny.
And can you describe the scales in terms of color and size and what they look like?
I just remembered he was kind of mottled, multicolored, kind of aqua, kind of dark green.
So there was blue in there as well as green.
Yeah, kind of aqua. It seemed to me like his face, there was a definite like small snout at the end of his face that was light colored or lighter colored than the rest of him.
And if you were picking a reptilian on the earth that you know that is as close to what he looked like in memory, what would that animal be?
I remember some spikes coming off of him somewhere, like in the back of his head maybe and down his spine.
If you think of an iguana or something like that?
Okay, maybe more like an iguana, yeah. To me, he was like a chameleon because I felt like his color could change to his environment. He was pretty rough-scaled, very large scales.
So would it be like a standing-up alligator?
Similar, but there was a lot of human about him, too. Maybe he was what they call a hybrid, I don't know. He was completely harmless, very gentle in nature, but yet he also had a very warrior-like. To have him as an ally or somebody who looked out after you would be a good thing. I don't know. That's just how I felt about him.
And what residue have you had about why the reptilian is there?
Just to make contact. Nothing else.
But what do you think the relationship is between the reptilian being and the non-humans that you have sensed in these zones of fear?
I don't really see the connection between them. I just know that those zones of fear and the aliens that I feel are connected to them don't have our best interest in mind.
But the reptilian does.
Yes.
When you think of the zones of fear, what non-human comes to mind?
The grays, little short ones.
And that comes to mind because you've had interactions with them or you have sensed them?
No, I just sense them.
Do you get visual images in your mind of them?
I have, yeah, I definitely have, up in the mountains, very strongly once.
Can you explain that in detail?
Well, I was in Idaho, and I was working for the Forest Service, and for some reason we had to drive pretty far up into the mountain range to do some road surveying. I was on a survey crew at that time, pretty close to one of the mountain peaks. And I can't really explain it, but all I know is that this was gray alien territory. That was all I knew. And that we shouldn't be there. And the only reason why I knew it was like gray alien territory is because I got a clear, definite image in my mind of gray aliens and ships landing there. And they didn't want us there.
They did not want humans there?
No.
And where exactly was that? Where were you working?
That was in Targhee National Forest in Idaho.
And that's on the border of?
Just west of Yellowstone Park.
So near Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. And near Montana, kind of up in that corner there, south of West Yellowstone.
And what year would that have been?
80s.
Now, with all these various experiences in Wyoming, in Montana, in North Dakota, Arizona, in which you have sensed zones of fear, zones of stay out humans, can you explain what you think is behind those zones of fear? What it is exactly that wants to keep humans out?
Their own personal agenda, and they don't want us part of it, and they don't want us to be aware of what that is or where they're at.
And you would place this as these little grays?
Yeah. I've never really connected reptilians to any of that.
Do you have any sense of what could be unfolding in the future?
I've had a premonition about this butte where he landed his craft. Someday there will be several smaller crafts hovering over this butte. And at that time, there's a definite energy shift in the air. That's the only way I can describe it.
And in your mind's eye right now, if you can think of the butte and you see the image that has come into your mind before of craft over that butte?
Yeah.
Like the sky is filled with craft?
No, just like maybe 25 or 30 in the air right over this butte.
And what are their shapes?
Saucer.
And the saucers are associated with which type of non-human?
Well, that's the part I'm not sure of. That has not come to me. Just there will be some kind of a contact at that time, and I really don't know if it's going to be good or bad. That's the part I'm confused about.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.